Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. This is week 6, day 4 of our study of 1st and 2nd Timothy. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1st Timothy 6, 11 through 16. Well, welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Before we jump into this, I want to encourage you that if you haven't been reading 1st and 2nd Timothy 10 times in these 10 weeks, this is a great chance to jump in. I really do want to encourage you to read the book that we're going through 10 times in those 10 weeks. It really will change your experience with the Word of God. What I like to tell people is very often, you know, when you read through something once, you've got all of these questions. You're like, well, what does this mean? What's this about? And what am I supposed to think about that? And very often we run to Google, we run to something else to try and get those answers. I would encourage you, don't do that. Don't do that. Just read it again and again and again. And what ends up happening is the second and third and fourth time that you read 1st and 2nd Timothy, almost all of your questions that you had the first time through have been answered. And now you have three times as many questions. And then you read through it another three, four times, and you get to six, seven, eight times. And half of those second questions have been answered, right? And now you've got eight more questions or eight times as many questions. And so what ends up happening is we're going on this journey through the Word of God. And as we journey through the Word of God, as you read it over and over again, you get your initial questions answered, but new questions arise. And then you get some of those questions answered, but even more questions arise. And that's the nature of walking through the Bible with God, as we're on this journey. And it's not that it's an unknowable journey. It's that there's no end to what can be known. The more we read it, the more we will learn and discover and get to know God, but we will learn that the more there is to know about God in that, and that the questions are endless. There are answers, but there are endless questions. As we go on that journey of discovery, it's a powerful thing that really will change your experience, your encounter with God. All right, with that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you today. We want to encounter you through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We're reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 11. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. He's specifically speaking of the last two things that he was telling Timothy, you know, don't be about that conflict and strife and teaching things for financial gain. And don't be a lover of money. Don't be someone that's just trying to get rich in this life. Your primary goal is getting money and getting rich. It's like that just leads to all sorts of pain. So he's like, don't be about that. You flee from that, man of God. The leader, Timothy, teacher, pastor, elder, any believer, run away from that. Stay away from that stuff. You want to pursue, you know, righteousness, godliness, faith, endurance, and gentleness. Again, be boring, be kind, be nice. And again, this goes to, we can't be a people about redefining what sin is. Righteousness, faith, you know, endurance of running this out. You don't need endurance in the Christian life if everything is fair game. If you can live whatever kind of sinful life imaginable and do whatever you want and think that's okay, there's no endurance necessary for that. You're just doing whatever kind of licentious activity you want to be involved in. That doesn't take endurance. Fleeing sin does take endurance. Righteousness necessitates that we flee from sin, and that when we stumble and fall in it, we repent and we get back and we run to God. We don't redefine the very nature of sin itself. Verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying you made a confession before people. And we're talking about this confession of faith. right? Pilate asked Jesus, are you king of the Jews? Yes, it's like you say. Right, this good confession of acknowledging who we are, right? Jesus makes this confession before Pilate, the confession that Timothy has made before people. I am a follower of Christ. I choose to die to whatever my previous self was, and I give myself wholly to Jesus. That's what Paul's talking about for in Timothy's sake, in his case, is you've made this good confession. You made this confession before people. Live it out, Timothy. Live it out. Christianity has long been called a confessional faith, meaning that we confess to certain things. We say, these are the things that we believe and will walk out, right? We have to confess to those things. Now, it's not that we only confess to those and then we don't have to live them. As long as we say them, we're okay. Right? That's not how this works. That's not Christianity. A lot of people will say, if you just confess the right things, then you're a Christian, right? That's actually what Islam believes. Islam believes if you, you know, can make the Islamic confession, then that's what Allah wants, is say there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is prophet. You know, I'm butchering that, forgive me. But you know, they are a confessional faith as well, but that's really kind of the end of it. As you make those proper confessions, you say the right things and do the right things, regardless of what you actually believe, then you're, you know, a good Muslim to some extent. We are a confessional faith in Christianity, but that's not the end of it. We have to live it out. Now, one of the things that having a confessional faith means is that we don't get to have a private faith. It has to be public. It has to be spoken. You cannot be a Christian and have a private faith. You cannot be a Christian. I'm not saying you have to be a obnoxious, loudmouth, outspoken person who intentionally irritates everyone they know so they can let them know they're Christian. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying we have to make that confession before people. We have to put it on the line saying, I believe these things. Now I'm going to live them out, knowing that we're going to stumble and fall and have to repent of that later on and get back up and keep chasing after him, right? That's what puts us on the line. I've encountered many people. I've invited so many people to Bible studies over the years. And even in places that I've worked, I've hosted Bible studies in at companies and jobs that I've had. And this is what I've encountered that the most is I've invited people to come to a Bible study at work. And they'll tell me, no, I'm a Christian, but it's a very private faith for me. I mean, most of the time I tend toward being an overly gracious person, I guess, but I would love to say, it's like, then you're not a Christian. You don't have to come to my Bible study. That's fine. But you can't have a private faith. There's no such thing. There's no Christianity that's private. It's not possible. We have that confessional faith because that confession is what puts us on the line. That confession is how we acknowledge to everyone that we are going to live the rest of our lives for Jesus alone. Knowing that we will stumble and fall and repent and get back up, but we're putting ourselves out there. If you don't put yourself out there, if you don't make that claim and you live this private Christian life. Let me say this very clearly. You're not a Christian. That's not Christianity. That's not biblical Christianity. That's not the Christianity of Jesus, the one who very publicly laid his life down for us. As believers, we very publicly take that cross up. Now, caveats to that. Right? Let's say you're in a very hostile environment. I have friends that are missionaries in very hostile countries. Like you make that public confession, you go to the street corner and you start preaching Jesus, you will lose your life right then. Like that's a real thing. I'm not saying that you have to broadcast it to everyone. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, there are times and places where, you know, being a little bit hidden is not such a bad thing. I don't think scripture speaks against that. What I'm saying is our faith has to be confessional to someone, right? You have got to profess this before the church at the very least. If you can't even profess this before other believers, if you have a private faith, meaning you don't go to church, you don't believe in going to church or fellowshipping with other believers and acknowledging before them that you believe in God, you don't have a faith in Jesus. It's not possible. Now, I'm not saying that if you've been burned by church and you're not currently going to church and you're angry about, I'm not saying that you're not a believer if you don't go to church. What I'm saying is if you think that you can be a Christian, never fellowship with believers, and have no intention of ever doing so, and you don't think it's important that anybody knows that you're a Christian, I think you really need to reevaluate what Christianity is and whether or not you are one. Because it doesn't jive with what Paul's saying here. We have this confessional faith. We do still have to live it out, but we have to confess it before people. We have to. Again, that doesn't mean that you have to be the obnoxious person so that every person that you meet within the first 5 seconds, they know you're a Christian and whatever. I hope you get where I'm going with that, is there's some common sense things to this, but it has to be a faith that we speak. It has to be. All right, verse 15. Or verse 14, to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lords of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one who has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. This is a bit of a doxology that Paul is giving to Timothy here is, you know, this God that we are professing, right? To him be honor and glory and everything forever and ever. He'll bring about these things. I love the fact that he mentions, you know, he lives in unapproachable light. It's like no one's ever seen God and no one can see God in this flesh. It's very clear, you know, and so it's the one of the reasons why to the Pharisees, the idea of God being flesh, Jesus being God and man at the same time, to them was this anathema, this heresy, because we can't see God. And it is this paradox, because even John acknowledges that we can't see God. No one at any time has ever seen God face to face. And at the paradox, and John makes it very clear that this is a paradox of our faith, is that no one can see him, yet at the same time, we've seen him. In Jesus, we see him. We really do. But we can't stand before God. We cannot approach his throne in this flesh and live. We can't. Even Moses. Moses got the closest to it of anybody. It says that God passed before him, the actual God the Father, the one who lives in unapproachable light, stuck his hand out and put his hand in front of Moses so that he couldn't see his face. And then as he walked by, he moved his hand over Moses' eyes, and Moses saw the Lord's backside as he passed by. And even that caused Moses to physically glow. Right? When Moses would go and enter the tent of meeting after that and just meet in this Shekinah glory cloud of God's presence, where he wasn't seeing God face to face. It's just this manifest physical cloud presence of the glory of God. Even that caused Moses' face to radiate light. God lives in this unapproachable light. I love that Paul brings that up to remind us who we worship, that we worship the one true God. There is no one like him. There is no one like him. And for that reason, based on what Jesus has done for us, because of who God is, our faith cannot be private. It can't. It has to be confessional, and it has to be lived out. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.